And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The remains of a Roman slave with a 2-inch iron nail driven through his heel bone have been found in Cambridgeshire and are the world's best example of crucifixion and the first evidence of such from the UK. Archaeologists unearthed the skeleton during an excavation at the village of Fenstanton back in 2017 and have just completed their analysis of the grisly find. Radiocarbon dating has placed the finds between 130 and 337 AD. The skeleton of the 5'7" man, believed to have been 25 to 35 at the time of his death, was found alongside traces of a timber structure that he was buried with. Rather than a cross, however, the team believe that this may have been a type of board called a bier on which the corpse would have been placed after death. The fact that no other nails were found in the man's body suggests that he was tied to a separate wooden structure, possibly another board, during his ordeal. The nail running through his heel, the archaeologist said, likely served not to support his weight, but to stop him wriggling. Physical evidence of crucifixion, rather than documented descriptions of the practice, tends to be rare, as the victim's remains were usually unceremoniously disposed of and the nails removed for their magical properties. It's essentially the first time that we found physical evidence for this practice of crucifixion during an archaeological excavation, said dig leader David Ingham of Albion Archaeology. You just don't find this. We have written evidence, but we almost never find physical evidence. The remains of the slave with the nail through his heel, he said, surpasses the previous example of the same injury, which was found in Israel back in 1968. Unlike the Fenstanton discovery, however, this specimen has been considered controversial due to the fact that the body was both reburied and not found intact. Although crucifixion is commonly associated with Christianity, the archaeologists do not believe there was any such religious element at play in this case. Crucifixion, which kills by means of a combination of asphyxiation and severe exhaustion, was the primary form of capital punishment in the Roman Empire until it was banned under the reign of Constantine the Great, 306 to 337 AD. It was Cambridge University archaeologist Corinne Duhigg whose analysis confirmed that the Fenstanton man's death must have been caused by crucifixion. Thinning of the man's legs, punitive injuries and signs of immobilization have led the team to conclude that the individual was a slave who was shackled at some point prior to his excruciating demise. Mr. Ingham added that the crucifixion may have been a local variation on a theme as compared to the textbook example epitomized by that of Jesus in the Bible. The man is thought to have been from the local area and was likely crucified on a roadside around half a mile from the cemetery in which he was buried. Six other graves were unearthed in the same burial site as part of the excavation project, which unearthed a total of 48 remains from across five cemeteries in Fenstanton between 2017 and 2018. Alongside these burials, the team also uncovered artifacts, including an assortment of ceramics and an enameled copper alloy brooch shaped like a horse and rider. This piece of jewellery is similar to a previous find at Hockwood cum Wilton in Norfolk that has been linked to a Roman-era cult known to have existed in East Anglia, Somerset and Wiltshire. Crucifixion was an ancient method of punishment, commonly associated with the Romans, but also practiced by the Carthaginians, Macedonians and the Persians. The name for the procedure literally means fixed to a cross, and it is the root of the word excruciating, literally a pain so bad, it's as if they were out of crucifying. A victim would eventually die from asphyxiation or exhaustion, and it was a long, drawn-out and painful affair. The act was used to publicly humiliate slaves and criminals, with the goal of dissuading witnesses from perpetrating similar acts, as well as an execution method employed on individuals of very low status or those whose crime was against the state. This is the reason given in the Gospels for Jesus' crucifixion. Crucifixion could be carried out in a number of ways. In Christian tradition, nailing the limbs to the wood of a cross is assumed, with debate centering on whether nails would pierce hands or the more structurally sound wrists. But Romans did not always nail crucifixion victims to their crosses, and instead sometimes tied them in place with rope. Other forms of the practice included victims being tied to a tree or even impaled on a stake. In fact, the Roman philosopher Seneca the Younger once wrote of seeing crosses not just of one kind, but made in many different ways. Some have their victims with head down to the ground, some impale their private parts, others stretch out their arms on the gibbet, he said. Until recently, the only archaeological evidence for the practice of nailing crucifixion victims is an ankle bone from the tomb of Johanan, a man executed in the 1st century CE. The victims are normally criminals, and their bodies were often thrown into rubbish dumps, meaning archaeologists never see their bones. Identification is made even more difficult by scratch marks from scavenging animals. The nails are widely believed to have magical properties. This meant they were rarely left in the victim's heel, and the holes they left might be mistaken for puncture marks. Most of the damage was largely on soft tissue, so damage to the bone may not have been that significant. Finally, wooden crosses often don't survive as they degrade or end up being reused. A possessed woman underwent a 9-hour exorcism after she attacked an Italian priest during confession and started speaking in different voices and languages. The 28-year-old woman was accompanied by her family members to the Church of St. Mary of Mount Berico in Vicenza, northern Italy, at around 11 a.m. on Sunday for confession. But witnesses said the unnamed woman began to scream and swear inside the basilica and spoke in different voices and languages, including Latin, Carrera del Veneto reported. The woman ran through the confession rooms on the ground floor of the church, slapped her mother and attacked the priest running the confession, according to local news reports. Four friars reportedly intervened and held a 9-hour-long exorcism for the woman, who they claimed was possessed by the devil. The exorcism did not finish until 8:30 p.m. when the woman collapsed and was taken home by her parents and younger brother, local media reported. Father Giuseppe Bernardi, the exorcist of Monte Berico, Father Carlo Rossato and two other brothers were reported to have held the 9-hour-long exorcism. Some witnesses called local police and ambulance services to alert them to the situation, but authorities were said to have remained outside the church. Father Rossato said, "It was a real possession, and it was only in the evening that the situation was resolved when the girl physically collapsed." The father claimed there are hundreds of similar cases and said they have four exorcists in the Curia of Vicenza to deal with such situations. According to the paper, her mother took her to confession because she believed there was a demonic influence behind her daughter's alleged violent behavior. Her father reportedly believed she was suffering from a psychiatric disorder. A 12-year-old girl has become a bishop for 45 minutes as part of a cathedral's long-running tradition. Chorister Isabel Moss donned the bishop's cope, mitre and ring and carried a staff to lead a service at Salisbury Cathedral on Sunday. She sat in the intricately carved cathedra, or bishop's throne, to deliver a sermon and lead the choir and congregation in prayer. Isabel, who is from London but boards at Salisbury Cathedral School in Wiltshire, is the latest in a long line of chorister bishops. The tradition dates back to medieval times, when a boy chorister would hold the office of bishop from the feast of St. Nicholas, the patron saint of children, on December the 6th, until the feast of the Holy Innocents on December the 28th. During that time, he could appoint clergy and distribute the church's money as he saw fit. Henry VIII put a stop to the practice of appointing child bishops in 1541, declaring it a distraction from proper church business. Salisbury Cathedral revived the practice in its present form in the 1980s. Nowadays, the chorister bishop only holds a role for the service and is likely to be a girl as a boy. Being chosen for the temporary role is a great honour and marks a chorister's contribution to the choir and cathedral music. Isabel not only sings with the choir, but also plays piano and flute, likes art, and is a member of the school's hockey team. David Halls, the director of music at Salisbury Cathedral, said, "Isabel is an exceptionally good singer and an excellent role model for the younger choristers. She has been in the choir for 4 years and was made a senior chorister in September. She knows how to work hard but also enjoy life, which is exactly what we want our choristers to do. Singing with a cathedral choir is a big responsibility, but it is also great fun." And finally, Pastor Jamie was reaching the end of his sermon. He told the congregation, "Now for next week, I need everyone to read Leviticus chapter 28. It ties into my sermon." A week passed, and Pastor Jamie reached a pulpit and asked, "How many of you have read Leviticus chapter 28? Everyone raised their hands. Jamie looked at them and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there is no 28th chapter to Leviticus. Now let me start my sermon on lying."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.